Blog Talk Radio.
And then when I walked down the street, people would have looked and they would have said, there goes the best there ever was in this game.
Will the guys and gals in your fantasy baseball league be saying that about you?
I could have been the best in the game.
Are you going to have regrets like that guy?
I could have been better.
Stop your belly aching and cut it out with the coulda, woulda, shoulda. We're 3 weeks into the 2015 fantasy baseball season and your quest to be the best should be in overdrive. Yes, it's early. Don't panic, and you could still save your season.
Then yada, yada, yada.
Plus, that's a fugazi.
Hey, all that is true, but you can't totally disregard the first 3 weeks of April. If you play in a roto league, the points that you accumulate or fail to accumulate this time of year are going to affect your bottom line, and it's going to affect your ability to be the best. This week's show is going to be a little different. Oh, we're going to still have some fun. But with all the waiver wire recommendations being floated all over the place on the internet, on TV, on radio, you need to differentiate between the players who can help your team for the long term and those who are frauds. You don't want to have to waste money from your waiver wire budget picking up a guy that you're only eventually going to have to drop.
Because that's a fugazi.
I think it's high time that we go over how you can use those in-depth sabermetric stats as you scrutinize your league's waiver wire in search of that fantasy player who's going to put your team over the top. I am Joe Galina, and it's just a fantasy sports show starts right now. So CC Sabathia almost had me fooled. He pitched great earlier this week against the Mighty Tigers, but the Mets mangled him on Saturday, April 25th. Unfortunately, when it comes to fantasy baseball, you just can't trust him. He and Jared Weaver tried to convince us that if we let them put on a few pounds, it would help them pitch better. Well, guess what? They can eat all of the bonbons and curl up on the couch and watch Lifetime movies, putting away all of the cartons of Haagen-Dazs ice cream that they want. They are not and will never be the power pitchers that they once were. And unless they're able to compensate for that lack of velocity and come up with a new pitch or a new style of pitching, they're never going to be on one of my fantasy baseball teams again. Cleveland starter Danny Salazar has pitched very well in two starts since being called up for the minor leagues. He's got a 2.08 ERA with 21 Ks in 13 innings. His whip is a bit higher than I'd like it to be at 1.31. He's given up 12 hits and 5 walks in those 13 innings. What has helped him to be successful so far is an astronomical 98.7% left on base rate. That means that 98.7% of base runners against him are left stranded. The league average is just 70 to 72%. That 98.7 rate would be just about normal if we were measuring a human body temperature, just about. But when measuring a pitcher's left on base rate, it's
abnormal.
Now see, it ain't so, Joe.
And unsustainable. Watch Salazar's progress carefully. As of the time that I'm recording this podcast, the Angels are close to trading Josh Hamilton to the Texas Rangers, a team he should have never left as a free agent, the team where he had his best years and his best support system. Good for Josh Hamilton, good for the Rangers, and good for Josh Hamilton fantasy owners. Ben Zobrist will undergo arthroscopic knee surgery. He's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks.
Now, see, it ain't so, Joe.
Joe Nathan is going to be undergoing Tommy John surgery. And, of course, he's done for the season.
Won't see him no more.
Looks like Soria will be the Tiger closer for the rest of the year. Kansas City starting pitcher Yordano Ventura has to learn to control his temper and get along with others. He was ejected from each of his last two starts. He gets involved in bench-clearing brawls. And I ask you, Yordano,
why can't we all just get along?
So as of the morning of April 25th, DJ LeMahieu was leading the majors in hitting with a .414 batting average. Is he going to be the first baseball player to hit over 400 since Ted Williams? I don't think so. John Lester can't make a pickoff throw to first base, and he can't stop runs from scoring against him either. He's got a 6.23 ERA, again, as of April 25th. 40% of the batted balls hit against him are line drives, and line drives have a high percentage of falling in for base hits, and that would explain why his BABIP, batting average of balls in play against him, and we'll talk more about BABIP in more detail later, is at a rate of 424. That's more than 100 points over his career average. Almost all of his other stats point to him pitching like the John Lester that we all know and love, unless he's being affected by a mental part of the game that just can't be measured. Is this inability to throw a pickoff attempt to first base that is really being focused on in the media? Is that the root cause of his early season pitching woes?
Very interesting.
So as we alluded to earlier, it's in your best interest to keep abreast. Oh, boy, that's just Beavis and Butthead. They heard the word abreast, and they just couldn't control themselves. So be aware of all that is available on your league's waiver wire. You need to be regularly evaluating your team's roster. So once I've decided that, hey, these clowns...
I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Well, when you don't perform on my fantasy baseball team, yes, you're a clown. And no, you don't amuse me. And hey, my name isn't Spider, so I'm not afraid of you. I'm Joe Galina! So once I decided that my current roster isn't good enough to win me my league's fantasy championship, I scour my league's waiver wire, I sort my stats, check out the hottest bats or pitchers for the past 7, 14, or even 21 days. Then if I find that diamond in the rough, I'm going to need to make a decision. Is this guy who's batting 420 for the week the real thing? I mean, I know he's not going to bat 400 the rest of the way, but can he bat 280 for the rest of the way? Did his lifetime 220 hitter suddenly discover the secret to being a great hitter? Well, there are stats that will help you predict if that player who's on a current hot streak is going to be able to continue his recent success. Let's take a look at Ike Davis, first baseman for the Oakland A's. From 2012 to 2014, he has had a cumulative 214 batting average. Why is he still playing professional baseball? Because in this dead ball era, if you have home run hitting power, you are given a long leash. He hit 32 home runs in 2012. His lifetime isolated power average, or ISO, is 182. According to Fangraphs.com, ISO is a measure of a hitter's raw power, and it tells you how often a player hits for extra bases, so it's a good tool to use. The average ISO is 140, so Davis's lifetime ISO of 182 is... yes, just like Frosted Flakes. So when Ike Davis woke up on Friday morning, April 24th, he was batting 340 with a home run, four doubles, eight runs scored, eight RBI. That's in 50 at-bats. He had a cumulative 3-year 214 batting average now, and now, all of a sudden, he's batting 340. Extrapolate his numbers across a full season, which is kind of silly since we're only 3 weeks into this baseball season. But for the sake of this demonstration, let's say he comes to the plate 550 times. At this pace, he would drive in and score 88 runs. Very nice. He would hit 44 doubles, but he only hits 11 home runs. Other than the loss of power, this guy looks like a world beater right now. Is he playing better to appease a certain 70s sitcom icon?
If Ike loses, the Fonz is going to be mad.
Loses? I think you mean doesn't perform, Fonz. So how can Ike Davis's resurgence be explained? What happened? I'm going to show you.
Come over here, kid. Let me see something.
So let's start with his BABIP, also known as his batting average with balls in play. The BABIP measures how often a ball in play goes for a hit. A ball is in play when the plate appearance ends in something other than a strikeout, walk, hit, batter, catcher's interference, sacrifice bunt, or home run. So for the most part, the average batter's BABIP, because you can also calculate BABIP for a pitcher, but a batter's average BABIP is 300. But when you're trying to analyze a hitter, you take a look at his lifetime average and use it as a baseline. Davis has a lifetime 285 BABIP, and this season it's up to 381. Yep, that's close to 100 points higher than his lifetime BABIP. Now, it doesn't always work out this perfectly, but Davis's 2015 batting average happens to be just about 100 points higher than his career average. So how can we explain this higher BABIP? Well, now we need to take a look at his batted ball statistics. Fangraphs.com keeps track of the percentage of line drives, ground balls, and fly balls that a batter hits. and it's pretty significant. Of the three statistics, line drives end up falling in for hits most frequently, followed by ground balls, and then you have your fly balls. So for his career, 20%, 1% below the league average, of Ike Davis's batted balls are line drives. This season, just over 30% of Davis's batted balls have been line drives. So you see he's hitting a lot more line drives, and since they fall in for hits more than any other type of batted ball, it's not surprising that Davis's overall batting average is much higher than his lifetime batting average. So now we can infer that Davis's much higher BABIP, which is at least partially responsible for his higher batting average, has been influenced by his much higher line drive rate. See how nicely that all works? Now, usually when a batter's BABIP is that much higher than his lifetime average, it's pretty tough to maintain, and you would expect it to revert back closer to his career norm. Now, Danny Santana is a great example of someone who had a huge uptick in his BABIP, and it's kind of went back to the norm. He's eligible at short now, field in most leagues. He had a breakout season in 2014. He batted 319, stole 20 bases. Fantasy analysts pointed to his unsustainably high 405 BABIP last year. And this season, it's leveled off. It's down to 316. And lo and behold, his batting average as of Friday morning was 218. So that's just about 100 points lower than he was batting last season. Do you know that through Saturday morning, Danny Santana has walked exactly zero times? That's right, no walks for Santana. And he has a 30.4% strikeout rate.
1, 2, 3, strike, you're out. 1, 2, 3, strike, you're out. 1, 2, 3, strike, you're out.
That's exactly what it sounds like when Danny Santana comes to the plate. Now back to Ike Davis.
I like Ike.
Got it, Fonz. You like Ike. Another stat I'd like to look at in our evaluation of Davis's season so far is his weighted runs created plus, which is an OPS stand-in that takes ballpark information and the trends based on the baseball era that a batter plays in, takes those into account. So if a ball player has the advantage of playing in a hitter's park or is active during baseball's live ball era, this stat kind of evens the playing field. The average weighted runs created plus is 100. Davis's lifetime number is 112, and his current average is 145. Now, Davis's home park in Oakland is a pitcher-friendly park, so that 145 mark is very impressive. Want to know what else is contributing to Davis's abnormally high batting average? I know you do. How about his 92.4% contact rate? I mean, his lifetime contact rate is 76.9. The league average is 80. His swinging strike rate, how often a batter swings and misses, is 3.8% this season, and his lifetime swinging strike rate is 9.5%, which is right on target with the major league average. Another reason for Ike's success is that Oakland has been managing his strengths and weaknesses. Davis's lifetime batting average against righties is 257, and that's 60 points higher than his lifetime batting average against left-handed pitchers. Davis has just 3 at-bats against lefties so far this season, and basically the A's have been setting him up to succeed. So now, how do we explain Davis's projected power outage of the season, right? His home run to fly ball rate is at 9.1%. That's the lowest of his career. Back in 2012, the season that he hit 32 home runs, his home run to fly ball rate was 21.1%. Compared to 9.1% right now. And if you check baseballheatmaps.com, his average distance on his fly balls was 300.32 feet back in 2012. This season, his fly balls travel at an average of just 288.1 feet. So what's the final verdict on Ike Davis?
My bike likes Ike.
Fonzie, you're being a nerd right now, and despite how the Fonz feels about Ike Davis, I'm more of a realist. If you have a deep bench and play in at least a 12-team league, you know, hopefully maybe a 15-team league, You can take a chance on Davis, but I think at this stage of the game...
Maybe your best course would be to tread lightly.